All right, everybody. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. Are we loving Jesus today at New Life Church? Are we? Do you? Come on, do you love Jesus? Why not, man? Why not? I mean, I think we should be excited about our relationship with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, man, without Jesus, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Like, without Jesus, I've got nothing. Like, everything gets burnt up in this world, but because of Jesus, I spend eternity with God and with Christ forever. Man, Jesus is everything, guys. Without Jesus, you've got nothing. Build your life on Him. He's the solid rock. Build your hope on Him. He's the good news, right? Like, there's no need to be ashamed of Jesus. There's no need to be ashamed of His word. There's no need to be ashamed of His teachings. Are His teachings anti our culture? Yes, they are. If you stand up for His teachings, are you going to find an abrasiveness with our culture? Yes, you will. But don't be ashamed of Jesus. It's okay to love Jesus and to love His word and to love His teachings. And there's a way to communicate that in a way that also sounds like love. Because I think that's who Jesus was. Wasn't He? Wasn't Jesus the ultimate example of love? Yeah, and He taught with love. That's why the Bible says that sinners liked being with Jesus. Wow, when the church figures out that little piece right there, the church is unstoppable. Do you hear me? You are the church. I'm not talking about me as the administrator. I'm talking about us as the church. When we figure this out, we're unstoppable, right? When we understand that everything in this word isn't to beat people up, to beat people into submission, it's to love people into a relationship with God. You see what I'm saying? Like, look, my name's Jeff. I'm your friend. I'm also your coach. You got to figure out how to take the teachings of Jesus, which are anti our culture, and you got to figure out how to use those things as an instrument of love to help people know who Jesus really is. Because when they find out who He is, man, their lives start to change, just like your life has been changing. How many guys would say in here, my life is being changed by Jesus? Come on. Come on. I mean, yeah, you better believe it. You better believe it. So that's why I got you in this series called The Cross, Discover the Mysteries. I've really kind of felt this conviction that the cross lost the centerpiece. It no longer became like this place of awe and wonder, right? But we lost it as the centerpiece of our Christianity. And other things have been kind of seeping in there. Like, if you lose the center of the gravity of your Christianity, then you are more susceptible just to drift. I mean, think about it this way, all right? If you lose the sun in the middle of our solar system, what happens to planet Earth? Just think for a second. You're like, is this a trick question? No, it's not a trick question. If the sun's not there, the Earth doesn't have the gravity to stay where it's at. It just drifts. And by the way, all of us die. All right, it was a really bad example because in the end, we're all dead. But nevertheless, the principle is true. The gravity of the sun is what keeps us where we are. What is the gravity of your Christianity? Right, the gravity of our Christianity has to be Christ and the cross. And if we lose that, then you lose the ability to stay connected and you start drifting. And what happens when you start drifting, man? I'm going to tell you right now. You get caught up in the ideals that this world is trying to insert into our hearts versus the principles of truth that are inserted into our hearts by the truth of God's word. And we're watching Christians drift in these days that we live in right now. And it's going to happen more unless the cross becomes the centerpiece again. So that's why I've been wanting to take you back to that. If this is your first Sunday with us in this series, please go back to mynewlifechurch.com and listen to the other messages. Because today I'm going to mention some things that I'm going to assume you know because you were here these other weeks. But if you weren't here these other weeks, then they're going to go right over the top of your head. And some of those things are going to be things you're going to need to anchor the cross as the centerpiece of your Christianity. That's why it's important, man, you stay engaged. That's why we have online. We have online so you can stay engaged even when you can't be here. Because precept builds upon precept. Concept builds upon concept. 1 week builds upon the next week. Although they're standalones, pieces build upon one another. And in the end, I don't know about you, but I hate doing puzzles. You know why I hate doing puzzles? Because inevitably you get to the end and there's like three pieces missing. and you spend all this time and you can't finish it. I'm thinking to myself, it's the same way with church. Why would you invest all this time but be missing the key pieces? So stay engaged on a weekly basis so you get all the puzzle pieces, right? So you can put it all together. All right, are you with me? All right, today I'm gonna do something different than what I typically do. I'm gonna communicate in a way that's different than what I normally communicate in. I normally try to speak right here. I'm a very heart-moved type of guy. Today I'm gonna get there, but I gotta start here. And we're gonna take God's word and we're gonna take what God's doing, and I'm gonna ask you to think with me, not feel with me. I want you to think with me for a while, and then we'll feel it. But we first have to think it. I need you to first wrestle with me, with some concepts of God's word so that the cross and the mysteries of the cross can be unveiled. I feel like in today's message, if I can just honestly say it this way, here's how I feel. I feel like I got a truth from God's word that's here, and I've got basic humanity, being you and me, that are way over here. And in this one message, I'm going to try, right? I haven't been going to the gym lately, so I don't have a lot of muscle, but I'm going to try to pull these two things together. But that means I need you to lean in today. I need you to be on the edge of your seat. I need you to, if you've got a phone, I need you to go to your YouVersion app. I need you to click on the events. I need you to pull up the notes. Like, I need you to write some things down today. Like, I need you to be fully engaged today, because what we want to talk about today is something that's going to be revolutionary for your spirituality. It's going to be revolutionary for keeping the cross of Jesus at the center, but you're going to have to lean in with me. So today, don't expect to laugh a lot today. Today, it's going to be here. Today, we're going to be looking at some stuff and unpacking some things, and we're going to get to here. And I think when we land in the heart at the end of this message, all of a sudden your eyes are going to be opened up to a brand new principle of the cross and an understanding of what the power of the cross really is. I'm going to talk to you today about separation. Have you ever been separated from a loved one for a long period of time? I was in the Air Force. I got separated from loved ones for long periods of times, right? And I would do it again. Like, I loved it, and I would go back, and I would do it again, serve my country. I loved that. It was an honor. We also took an assignment to Alaska, which took us up there for 7-plus years. And during that time, Kim only got to see her parents once. I got to see my parents once. We were completely separated from family, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins, grandmothers and grandpas, separated, serving, doing the work that God called us to do, right? And we would do it again in a heartbeat. That's a level of separation that most people, even right there, haven't experienced. Now, let me take separation to another level. My son, Andy, he joined the Army, and he went into the 101st Airborne, and he served as a medic with the 101st Airborne. Very first assignment, gets sent to Iraq. Serves for a year in Iraq, they come back. After being back, then they end up going to Afghanistan, serves in Afghanistan for a year, right? The entire time that Andy's gone in Iraq and in Afghanistan, where he's out on the front lines, out in small outposts, serving his country and watching some of his very own soldiers die, he has some horrific stories of death, but he also has some amazing stories of heroism at the same time. And I'm so proud of him and for, you know, what he did in serving our country. But I'm so thankful to have him back, because there's something about that kind of separation where you just don't know. Unless you've got a son or a daughter that's in that situation, you don't know the tension that you feel on the inside of being proud of them, but being also worried about what's the next phone call I'm going to get, and have they died in combat. Like, that's a whole nother level of separation. There was a moment that happened on the cross where Jesus was separated from his father. And the Bible gives us a picture of the window of this separation being somewhere in the neighborhood of around 3 hours. And you're going, well, was he alive? Yes, Jesus was alive. Then how was he separated from his father? I'm going to help you understand that. But just like my son and many of your sons and daughters went to fight for the freedom of our nation, Jesus went to the cross for a few hours. And on the cross, he fought. He fought for our spiritual freedom. But in the midst of that fight, There was a period of time of Jesus being separated from the Father so that you and me can be united to God. To understand this, we have to go to the cross. To help set the stage for the cross, theologians believe that Jesus was nailed to the cross somewhere around 9 a.m. in the morning. So this is important. 9 a.m. in the morning. The scripture we're going to start reading starts a time clock, and it says that it was about the noon hour. So remember this. Jesus is on the cross, nailed to the cross, lifted to the air, 9 o'clock in the morning. Now it is noon. We're going to pick the story up after Jesus has been tortured on the cross for 3 hours. In Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 34, it says, at noon. Someone say at noon.
At noon.
I just do that kind of stuff just to make sure you stay awake. Okay. No, I actually do that kind of stuff so that you can get the key points. Okay. So it was at noon. Watch what happens. What happens? Darkness fell across the whole land until what time? 3 o'clock. So 9 o'clock, he's put on the cross. This scripture starts at noon, and it says that now at noon, darkness fell upon the whole earth for 3 hours. Then, verse 34, at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? So you get a 6-hour window of time here. 9 o'clock on the cross, 12 o'clock, what happens at 12? Everything goes dark. Now, here's what we know about the darkness that fell upon the earth at that very moment. The earth has experienced a darkness, a regional darkness like this before, right? It happened back in the book of Exodus. It was one of the plagues that God sent to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians to try to convince the heart of Pharaoh to let God's people go. And darkness came upon the land, and it lasted for days. In this particular moment, darkness fell at noon. And we know that it is like a blanket of clouds or a supernatural blanket of like a haze that God uses to block the sun from the earth. We know that because it's not an eclipse. If you've experienced an eclipse, like the actual total eclipse doesn't last for 3 hours. Okay, and when that total eclipse happens, there's still some light. So it's something beyond an eclipse. Right? It's some kind of thickness of clouds that God puts upon the earth. Now, why does this happen at noon and for exactly 3 hours? Why at 11:30 is it not there? And why is it recorded at noon? And then why 3 hours later is Jesus crying out, my God, why have you abandoned me? There's something about the darkness. There's something about the physical darkness God's trying to say to you and me. And what he's trying to drive home to us is this. Just like the clouds, the darkness is separating you from the life-giving sun, the S-U-N, there is a spiritual darkness called sin that is separating you from me. And my son, at this moment, is bearing the sins of all humanity, including your sin, and your sin, and your sin. He's bearing all of the sins of humanity at this one moment. And with this physical manifestation of darkness, I'm trying to communicate to you, mankind, that sin brings a spiritual darkness that separates you from me. And my son is being separated from me because he's bearing the sins of humanity upon himself. Now, this is really important to grapple with. It's really important to wrap your head around. Something supernatural is taking place at noon. And God is trying to tell you and me something very important. I believe that the answer of what God's really trying to say to us is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for God made Christ who never sinned. Right? You guys understand that? For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that, good news, so that we can be made right with God through Christ. Come on, somebody. That's good news, right? That's good news. So here's what happens. Jesus becomes the sacrifice for our sin. Now, Jesus is hung on the cross. He is the sinless one. He's put on the cross. He's been hanging there for 3 hours, but something supernatural takes place where the bearing of the weight of the sins of humanity is upon him, and he becomes the sacrifice for all of our sins, hanging on that cross in this moment, and it's manifest with a physical darkness. What does Jesus become? Jesus becomes the sacrificial lamb. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He became the lamb from the Passover. The Passover in Exodus. The lamb that's blood that was shed so that the blood could be put on the doorpost so that when the last curse that came upon the Egyptians where the firstborn would die would pass over God's people. Jesus was hanging there now as the sinless, spotless lamb who took my sin and your sin, and he bore the weight of that sin, and now he's experiencing a separation from God. And for 3 hours, he's feeling this intensity of this separation from God. And at 3 o'clock, that's why he cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me? He feels, it's like an abandonment. Why? Because there was this closeness with God. That's why. Jesus is God, but yet Jesus is man. And it's this connectivity that he's feeling, this ripping apart. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I think it kind of lays it out for us. It uses a word. It substitutes a word for Jesus, and he just uses word, okay? So watch this. In the beginning, the word, or Jesus, already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Why does he feel such abandonment? Here's the reason why. Because Jesus is God. It's not God the Father, one God, God the Son, another God. No, it's like they are together. They are one. We have one God in distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son in this picture. We also know there's God the Holy Spirit. But in this picture, you see God the Father and you see God the Son, and they're connected. And what's happening is that there is this ripping that's never happened before. There was this connectivity because Jesus was the sinless one. He lived a sinless life as man, but yet he's fully God. So his godhood is definitely connected. And his manhood with God is connected like this. It's like woven together because he's sinless. And then he bears the sin of humanity upon himself. There is this ripping apart that takes place. And for the very first time, Jesus, fully man, is experiencing separation from his Father for the very first time. And it's intense. And we know that Jesus was fully man. Why? Because he got hungry and he ate. Because he was thirsty and he took drink. Right? Because he experienced pain. And we know that Jesus got tired and he slept. Jesus took naps, by the way. Come on, somebody. That's right. Jesus went to bed early sometimes. Jesus stayed up late other times. Right? I'm just trying to touch everybody. Jesus woke up early, though. We know these things. So we see the humanity of Jesus, and it's the humanity of Jesus that's being ripped, but Jesus is fully God. And it's kind of like mind-blowing, right? I think Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 kind of helps to drive this home for us. It says this, that though he, being Jesus, was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. We're talking about Jesus here. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus, guys, he felt separation from God as a man because your sin and my sin was now put upon him. Sin separates us from God. And in that separation, Jesus cries out in our modern day language using a word called abandonment. I think the closest thing I can get to try to help us feel this, and I'm still not going to be able to do it, but the closest thing I can get to when I was thinking about this was to talk about a couple that's been married, deeply in love, and been married for 50 plus years, and then one of the spouses die. Now, if you've gone through this, you know the pain of what I'm talking about. And I'm not here today to try to stir up that pain again. But would you please let me use this illustration, because I think it's the closest thing I can get to on earth to help us understand what Jesus was experiencing in this separation from his Father on the cross. Think about 50 plus years of life. Just think about it. I mean, think about the memories. Think about the adventures. Right? Think about all the stories that you could tell. You've experienced more things together, right, than you can even remember. But you try to hang on to all of them because of this deep love and desire for one another. And then all of a sudden, one gets sick. You're holding on to hope that possibly, maybe there could be, you know, a miracle that would sustain them forever, which you know is not possible, but you're asking God for the miraculous, and the miraculous doesn't come through, and it's their day, and God calls them home, and now they're gone from you. Think about now, after spending 50 plus years with somebody, building all of these beautiful, wonderful memories and amazing stories, and then and now you got nothing. Think about the pain. Think about the loneliness. Think about the quietness of the house for a moment, where it once used to be like you thought you heard, and you would yell out, hey, honey. But there's no honey anymore in the house. You think about this. There's no one to tell your story to when you come home. When you wake up in the morning, there's no one to share coffee with anymore. Right? You got the picture? The pain, the isolation, and the loneliness. You got friends, but just think about that for a moment. And now try to magnify that by 100 times. Between Jesus and his Father, try to magnify that, and you're sitting here and you're going, I can barely fathom the first one, Jeff. And you want me to magnify it by 100 times? Yeah. See, what I'm trying to drive home for you is that you are never, ever going to truly understand this separation that Jesus had from his Father, because there was something so beautiful and so unique about it, but that separation had to happen. And the only way it could happen was there was a closeness, and a closeness that came through the holiness and the righteous living of Jesus Christ. He was the sinless one. And when the sin came upon him and he was separated from his Father for the very first time, because that's what sin does, the anguish of that was like the story I told you times 100. And it's going to be hard for you to wrap your head around that. But pay attention to me. Pay attention to this. Jesus was separated from his Father and he went through that pain and that agony and that abandonment so that you and me could be united with God. And if the sin of the world separated Jesus from his Father, if the sin of the world that came upon Jesus separated him from his Father, let me tell you what your sin's going to do. Your sin's going to separate you from God. I'm not trying to bring the bad news. I'm just trying to bring the facts. I'm trying to ask you to entertain this thought. In our world today, we think God's a gracious God, and God's somehow going to overlook my sin. And I'm going to tell you today, God's not going to overlook our sin. God's looking for repentance from us. God's looking for us to recognize, you sent your son Jesus to the cross. He bore my sin upon himself, and he went through the agony of feeling the abandonment for those few hours of being separated from you. You want me, God, to come and repent of my sin because you don't want my sin to separate me from you. You weren't designed for that. God didn't design you to be separated from him because of your sin, but your sin will separate you. Isaiah 59:2, it says it this way, that it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and he will not listen anymore. But here's the good news, guys. Jesus went to the cross and he paid the price to break the curse of separation from God. He already paid that price. price has been paid for. There's no other price that can be paid. Jesus paid it all. Now, what do? We take advantage of it. We lean in. We walk on his coattails. We say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. I want relationship with you, God. But to do that, guys, you have to truly understand how serious the 3 hours of separation was for Jesus from the Father. You have to get it. You have to somehow try to grapple with the weight of this. I once, as a young Christian, thought that when Jesus was in the garden praying before he got arrested, and then he got put on trial, and then he got put on the cross the next morning. So the night before 9 a.m. that Jesus gets crucified, he's in the garden and he's praying, and darkness is now upon the earth. It's night. And he goes with his disciples, and he leaves some of them, and he takes three more of them, and he leaves them there, and then he goes a little bit farther, and he asks them, be praying with me. Jesus is foreseeing what's coming in the morning. He's seeing what's getting ready to come at noon the next day. Prophetically, he sees it, and he goes, pray with me. And then the Bible talks about the agony of Christ's prayers, that he anguished over this, that he went back to his disciples, and they're sleeping, and he's kind of like, bam, come on, get up. What are you guys doing, man? This is a big night. Pray with me, right? I think he probably did that, you know? I mean, come on, if you had somebody that was sleeping that was supposed to be praying with you, you're not going to bend down and try to wake them up either. You're going to be like, that's what you're going to do. That's what Jesus did. Open-toed sandals, so you got to be careful. Maybe like a little kick to the side, kind of a soccer kick, kind of maybe like a maybe a heel kick. I don't know. Something, maybe a foot on the head. Something. He's waking him up, and he's like, guys, this is serious. Pray with me. And he goes back, and the Bible says that he prays with such agony that drops of blood are coming out of his pores. You've never experienced this type of pain, this type of loss. I thought for years in my early Christianity that the reason why Jesus was in this anguish was because of the pain he was going to suffer on the cross. That he'd seen the pain and he knew the agony and he knew how a person was going to die on the cross and that this was the reason. And I'm here to tell you today, that's only part of it. You want to know why Jesus was anguished in prayer? You want to know why he had droplets of sweat that became blood? You want to know why? Because for the very first time, he was getting ready to be separated from his Father. That's how serious it is. How serious is sin? It caused Jesus to have drops of blood come from his very pores. How serious is sin? How serious is my sin that separates me from God? That when I allow sin to live in my life, it's like driving a wedge between me and God. And we've just come to say it's okay. It's acceptable. It's not acceptable to God. God said, I did everything to break the curse of sin in your life. I did everything. I put my son on the cross. I went through separation from the one I love more than anyone. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. I know what it's like to send my son overseas into battle and not know if he's going to come home. God took that times 1,000 to a whole nother level when he sent his son from a perfect heaven to an unperfect earth, knowing that he was going to be separated from his son, even for a few hours, bearing the weight of my sin and your sin upon his shoulders. That's why Jesus came. Jesus went to the cross and didn't die a bloody mess on the cross just to die a mess. And to show, oh, isn't it amazing how much love a person has for another that they would give up their life for you? That's not the only reason why Jesus went to the cross. The real reason why Jesus went to the cross is to break the curse of separation that your sin and my sin is causing between us and God. We gotta stop living life willing to be okay with the separation from God. It's like, look, it's like we know God from a distance. And we're okay with it. When God goes, no, I paid the price so that you could know me up close. And you're like, no, I don't really need that. I'm okay with being way over here. It's like we're okay with knowing about God, but really knowing him. We're okay with just having some knowledge of God, but really knowing him? No. Jesus was separated from the Father so that you and me might be united with God. And to prove it, just to drive home the point, just to drive a stake into this, and to help you really understand the gravity of it, to prove it, after 6 hours of Jesus being on the cross, tortured on the cross, Luke gives an account of what happened. And I need you to get this, because this is how we're going to land the plane here today, to really truly help you understand. Jesus was separated so that you can be united with God. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. By this time, it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone. And suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. What time did Jesus die? You may have never even thought about this. It tells us right here. What time did he die? He went to the cross at 9. Darkness fell upon the earth at noon. And then at 3 o'clock, Jesus dies. Did you realize that this was the perfect time to die? That there was no other minute in all of the universe, this was the perfect minute and the perfect hour to die. Because at 3 o'clock at the Passover in the temple, the priests would bring the sacrificial lamb and they would slaughter it and they would pour the blood of the lamb at the altar to cover the sins of the people. At 3 o'clock, as the evening sacrifice, but not this day. Not this day. No natural lamb was going to be good enough on this day, because this day was going to change everything. This is where the old was going to go away and the new was going to come, because at 3 o'clock on the Passover on this day, Jesus becomes the sacrificial lamb. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus says, "I offer up my spirit to you. I am the sacrificial lamb. I'm bearing the sins of all humanity upon myself, and I give up myself so that all of you might live." And to prove it, the priests that were in the temple that would have been getting ready to slaughter that lamb's throat at 3 o'clock, they look up, and this curtain that separates them from the Holy of Holies, the place where only one person, a high priest, goes once a year into the presence of God, from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, where somebody could cut it with a knife and rip it in two. From the top to the bottom, only supernatural, God goes, I'm ripping it. No longer are you separated from my presence, but because of the sacrificial lamb, Jesus paid the price for you and for all of your sins, now you get to be with me for eternity. So because Jesus was separated from his Father, because of your sin, you and me can be united to God. See, guys, the Bible without a cross has no climax. The Bible without a cross has no ending. The Bible without a cross has no solutions. So what do we do? What do we do with this kind of information? I think we do the logical, and we look at our lives. And we go, if you took my sin that serious, then I'm running back to the cross today and I'm repenting. If you loved me that much, God, then I'm bringing my sin. See, when you get to this level of understanding of the separation that Jesus had to experience as he took my sin upon himself, then here's what you have to come to the conclusion of. There is no sin that's so great that can keep you from the love of God. He took all of our sin. He took the sin that you think is little, and he took the sin that is much. And can I say this to you? The sin that is much might keep you from God right now because you feel guilty and shameful and dirty, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus already took that to the cross. Okay? So you can come running to Jesus right now with confidence in your heart going, I can be free and I can be clean today. What I worry more about is for those of us who call ourselves Christians who are allowing the little sins to live in our lives, the hidden sins to live in our lives because they're separating us from a holy God. And Jesus paid the price for it. So run to the cross and repent today and find a loving God who's going, I already broke the penalty of separation between you and me. Now run to me and repent so that the blood of the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, can cover your sins once and for all, and you and me can be one, just like God designed you to be. He designed you to be close to him. So let's run to the cross and let's find a heart of repentance before God today. Amen? Okay, good. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, we don't just offer hollow words to you today. We recognize you gave us everything. That you sent your son to the cross to be separated from you, which brought great agony and pain. A tremendous loss in that moment that is beyond what we can truly grasp or understand. But we get it. We get it in our head. So our heart comes running to you now. We come running to you, God, with repentance in our heart, with brokenness in our heart, God, for allowing sin to separate us from you. You designed us to be close to you. You designed us to be one with you. You designed us to walk with you. You designed us for that. And Lord, today, we're running after you. We're chasing you down. We're going to get close to you today. And we're not going to let sin and its curse of separation keep us from you, a loving, gracious, tender, amazing God with a plan to love us, a plan to be close to us. So Lord, have your way in us. Draw us close to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.